Nobody left.
Blog Talk Radio.
Children of Israel, the gift of love, people love.
Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. I ask you, Abba, that you forgive me for all my sins, forgive Israel for all of their sins, Abba, and that you hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for the breath of life. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, to open our eyes once again on the Shabbat day. We thank you for this day, Father, in particular, that you set aside, Father, a day above all other days that you blessed, put yourself into, and told humanity to come and sup with you, Father. We thank you for your invitation. We gladly accept it, Father. We thank you for this rain that we're hearing, this rain that's comforting, and this rain that's coming down today, Father. Thank you for the good sleep that a lot of us get when it rains, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, Father. We thank you for the healing that you give us, Father, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father. We ask that you continue to heal us, Father, and to comfort us, especially our Ema Deborah, our Ema Cheryl, our brother Shafud, our brother Shabbael, our rabbi, our Yakael, brother Yakael, you know, anyone who's hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, the little ones, our sister Chomi, you know, our sister Danielle, everybody and anyone, and those who I don't know, Father, continue to heal them according to your word, Father. Give us what we need, Father, to strengthen us and make it through these times, Father. Father, we ask that you open up our minds and open up our hearts to your word, Father. Continue to grow us, lead us, guide us, and show us the wonders in your word, the truth of your word, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to just edify us and bring us closer to you, Abba. Step by step, little by little, giving us exactly what we need, Father, that we may become the sons and daughters of you, the sons and daughters of Yah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother, Dayuel. Magnify the Torah and make it honorable by way of Kol Elohim. And I believe this was my third week, I want to say. Yeah, third week. Third week of a six-week rotation. We'll be halfway through. And we're going to, Todah Rabah. We're going to be talking about the temporal lobe today of the brain. Still talking about the function of the brain and how it acts and how what it does. And I hope everybody has been following Yaquiel on the YouTube. Now, this is just what is it called? Todaki. This is just, I guess you call it a disclaimer. I'm going to call it an HPI, Hebrew Public Announcement, HPA, Hebrew Public Announcement. Abba has given us a lot of resources, y'all. A lot of resources, and we need to tap into all of them. You know, the reason why the decision was made last week to not do Blog Talk, you know, and for the men's retreat, took a week off. You know, the thing came up where, you know, it was like, well, we're not going to do it this day. Okay. All right. So we're not going to do it. What were you thinking that the teaching wasn't going to go for? So one of the Moreas said, wow, a teacher ain't going to go for that night. A teacher ain't going to go for that morning. Shouldn't we give the brothers and sisters a choice? And what came forth was, hey, it's 1,100 episodes on Blog Talk. They still have a choice. And so you think about all the resources that we have. We have YouTube. We have the Blog Talk. Then you have the actual Word. A lot of subjects have been touched upon, you know. And I'm saying that just so people can go back and listen to some of the other subjects that's been touched upon, because they're all relevant today, and they all will, they all will help understand and bring more clarity if you're having any issues or any difficulties. Because, like, you know, one of the things that even Brother Baruch put those who don't know, Brother Baruch put some of the men's retreat up on the YouTube channel, on his YouTube channel. You know, I didn't even know my brother had a YouTube channel. You know, our brother put it up. And, you know, I hope y'all subscribe to Yaquiel. I hope y'all subscribe to Brother Baruch. You know, so when these things go up, these things go out to edify your spirit, because this is the stage that we're in now, all right, that Abba has going on now, the edification of his people, all right? People need to be taught. You know, and especially the Hebrews, the Israelites need to be taught, you know, especially us. How can we lead the world? And you know, because one of the things that one of the brothers said, the world, and it's the truth, if it wasn't for the very elect, and this is something that came up, if it wasn't for the very elect, this world would be destroyed. Because we are chosen. And Abba don't want to destroy us or get us caught up in all this mess and all this foolishness that's going on. His wrath is withheld from this world. But that's pending on us. See, he's holding back those four winds so we can get right. And when we get right, we can get others right. Abraham was picked because he said he is going to be a blessing. He's going to be he's going to be blessed and be a blessing. Right? So when we get blessed, not only are we supposed to get blessed, we're supposed to be blessed and be a blessing. You know? And it all starts with our minds. You know, now, going back to you know, what my brother was teaching, you know, again, Abba make it do what he do. Because you're going to hear a lot of the stuff, a lot of the stuff that he said is going to come out again in this, it's just going to come out in a whole other way. The science behind it, you know, because... Abba wants to condition man in one way. Hillel wants to condition you in another way. And whichever one you choose determines your fate. When you boil it all down, right? He started off us in this. In this manner, Abba did, when he created man. Hillel got involved, screwed up the work. And now Abba is bringing, he's restoring man to his original form through his word. But man has to choose it. That's what's going on here. And it all starts with your brain. With your mind. Now, with that being said, you know, again, resources is out there, y'all. Please use them. Please use them. You know, Abba has put words in these men's mouth for you to hear, and it's for your benefit along with ours. You know, Abba just don't give us this stuff just to, you know, he shows, and don't get me wrong, he shows it for us for our benefit too. There are going to be some lessons that are tailor-made just for you. But when he put that word in your mouth, you know, and when you finish that tailor-made lesson for you, it's for you to share. It's not for you to keep, you know. We are interdependent. There is no such thing as an independent person. Get that out of your head. All need each other in some way, shape, or form. We used to sing this song. We haven't sung it in a while, but it was I Need You to Survive. And that is the truth. I need you to survive. We all need each other to survive. To survive this, to survive to the end. We all bring something to the table, all of us. Some bring a little bit more because Abba gave them more. Some bring a little bit less. Abba gave them less. But again, those who bring less are no more are looked upon as less, and those who bring more aren't looked upon as more. You know? when you look at your body, your little pinky is just as important to that body as your big old chest. The pinky, your pinky, your little finger serves the purpose for that what Abba made it. And your shoulders, your chest serve the purpose for what Abba made it. None is more, one is not more important than the other. Because they both serve the same body. All right? So use the resources, y'all. Please. Pretty please. Now, with that being said, today we're going to talk about the temporal lobe. Now, the temporal lobe, this is the second largest part of the brain. Excuse me as my phone times out and kicks me out. It's the second largest part of the brain. This part of the brain is responsible for processing auditory information. So this is the part of the brain that deals with the ears. Now, if you remember when we was going through the senses, this part of the brain gets no rest because the ears is the one part, the one sense that you can't shut off. You can close your eyes, and you do close your eyes when you go to sleep. You blink. You know? So there's times, you know, which if you don't want to feel anything, you just don't touch nothing. You know? All of your senses get a rest except for your ears. You know? And this part of the brain is constantly at work. You know, because it's dealing with your ears, which are constantly at work. So much so that, you know, little things, and, you know, we're going to look at a couple of things because I have a couple of websites that I'm going to read from today. So it says processes auditory information. It sits behind the ears. It encodes memory. You know, this is part of the this part of the brain. Actually, you know, because think about all the stuff that you hear. You know, and it also functions on this part of the brain. You know, behind your frontal lobe, this secondary lobe sits behind your frontal lobe, and it actually interacts a lot with that frontal lobe. So these two parts of the brain is the biggest part. The frontal lobe is the biggest part, this being the second biggest part. These two parts actually work the most, you know, together. They work a lot together. This part actually provides that frontal lobe with a lot of information. And think about it, you know, because you get a lot of information from hearing. Outside of vision, you know, hearing, you know, you actually get more information hearing than you do seeing, you know, because there's a time when your eyes are closed. But while your eyes are closed, your ears are still working. Think about times. There's times when, you know, you fall asleep with the TV on. Your ears are still functioning. And because you had that TV on, it actually influences what you're dreaming. You know, because you had that TV on and your ears are still working. I've heard conversations in my in my sleep, and I dreamt about them. And I'm thinking it's real because I'm thinking about a dream that I had. And I'm like, well, hold up, wait a minute. I haven't saw that person in years. That can't be real. It must have been a dream. You know, but it was vivid, and it was influenced by things that I was hearing. you know, in my sleep. Phone comes out again. All right, it says encodes memory. It says, and these are the parts that we're really going to focus on within the lesson. Process, emotion, and language. Now, think about that, y'all, because you are, this part of your brain, processing emotion and language, and it has to do with your hearing. Your hearing, y'all. Think about that. It also says, process certain visual aspects. Now, that was something that I looked into, that your hearing actually affects the way you see. And it was a couple of websites, it was a couple of things that I looked into, just not for this lesson, but as I was researching, there was certain things. It's a correlation between people who lose their hearing and then go blind. And when their eyes go bad, all of a sudden their hearing goes bad. You know, it's a correlation between your hearing and your seeing. But so much so that when you hear a thing, it can actually affect the way you see a thing. For example, if you close your eyes, and, you know, certain people know certain sounds, right? You hear the squeaking of a mouse, right? But your eyes are closed. Your mind automatically brings that image of a mouse into your quote-unquote sight. We'll say perception because your eyes are closed, right? You hear the squeak, 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 squeak. You know what the mouse looks like. And because you hear it, you didn't see it, but because you know what it is, you know, you hear the sound of a blue jay or the sound of an Oreo. Some people can distinguish the sounds of birds, certain birds, you know. Your mind actually forms a picture of what's going on, of these different birds. That's the power of it, right? But you ain't seeing it because your eyes are closed, but you know what it looks like. You know, and your mind forms that picture, right? It says, process of emotion and language, process certain visual aspects. It says, the dominant side learns and remembers verbal information. Now, for most people, the dominant side of your brain is, according to them, is the left-hand side. It says, the left-hand side of your brain controls the right-hand side of your body and vice versa. So it says that part is dominant. And, you know, I tend to think it's true because certain people will, they'll say, even if you have two good ears, one normally functions better than the other. You know? That's why certain people, you know, even with some people are right-handed, some people are left-handed, you know, and some people are ambidextrous, you know, where they can do either hand. But normally, one side dominates the other. You know, your hearing on one side is better than the other. Normally, an eye is stronger than the other. One eye is stronger than the other. And so forth and so forth. It says the non-dominant side learns non-verbal information such as music. You know? And I always wondered why with me, you know, when I put my earphones in, I always, you know, I'm listening to my music. The music always seems clearer and louder in the left speaker than it does the right speaker. Even though I have it on balance, you know, it should be coming in the same way, but it just seems like it's more clearer on that left speaker, which is in your left ear, your non-dominant ear, my non-dominant ear, than it does on the right one. And I've never understood why. But, and it didn't matter what pair of speakers I had on, what pair of earphones I had in my ears. You know, it was like that for all of them. But, you know, obviously this is something that this is how our brain works. You know, this is how our brain functions. And, again, we're going to be really looking at those last three, or the last four, excuse me. The processing of emotion and language, we're going to be looking at all of them, but we're really going to pay attention to this. Processing emotion and language, processing certain visual aspects, the dominant side, learning and remembering speech, verbal information, such as speech, and the non-dominant side learns non-verbal information, such as music. So when we go through these, keep those things in mind, you know, because that was one thing that ABBA has really put on my mind lately, the influence and importance of music, right? Especially this thing called hip-hop, which has taken the world over. You know, I was listening to a song by Common, and the song is called I Love Her. You know, it's called Love, I think. I'll get the name for it. But what he's talking about, he's rapping as though this is a girl, but what he's rapping about hip-hop, and he's really laying out the history of hip-hop, you know, something about when he was young and, you know, it was so fly and it was beautiful and it was unsoiled, unstained, and this, that, and another. But then certain people got a hold of it, you know, it went to the West Coast and then came gangsta rap. He said, I wasn't really mad at it, anything like that. Now it's starting to make paper. It's starting to catch. It went from the party to the black consciousness to the gangster rap, and then all of a sudden now that's all you see this hip hop with is with the drug dealers and with the gangsters, and he's talking about how hip hop is laying with everyone now, where at one point she was that good girl that wouldn't give it up, you know? And now she's just laying with everybody now. Basically how they then slutted out or pimped hip-hop to the point she's with the thugs, and then she say, now all the hip-hop want to be is with the thugs and the gangbangers, and she want to, and hip-hop want to be the bad bees. Where at one point it wasn't like that. But think about how this music has taken the world over. You know? Even to the point where it's over in Japan, big in Japan. It has influenced their mangas and anime and this, that, and another. It's big in Japan. Where they listen to a lot of classical music at one point. English music, that Beethoven, the Bach, and stuff like that, that kept them, you know, that type of music was a downer. You know, don't get you on a high, you know, it's to bring you down, calm you down, soothe, nourish your soul, so to speak. You know? But now, hip-hop has just taken the world by storm. And it influenced the world to the point everybody want to be a bad B. Everything, you know, the females and the dudes. You know, it's just, that's true. My brother put it in there. And I'm, see, that's how Yahweh do. It connected to the lawlessness of society. One of the Marais, Marais Yarael, just texted in. It connected to the lawlessness of society. You are absolutely right. Because when you look at music, the first time music is talked about is in the Line of Cain. So you're absolutely right. And that's something that we're going to look at in a second. But let's go to our foundational scriptures, which is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah." And the other one is Romans chapter 8. Oops. Verses 5-8. And it reads, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, but it is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah." Now, this first I'm gonna send this out on the this was the one. Yeah. All right. Prayerfully I get this out to the right line. All right, I'm going to send out a couple of websites. All right, this first one should be hitting the 19 line, or the 20 line, or with, I think it's 20 people on that line. It's from the Queensland government. It's called health.qld.gov.au. So that everybody got it. This is actually talking about the temporal lobe and the divisions of the brain again. It shows a map of the brain, and it shows exactly where the part of the brain that you're using. And if you can see, it's on the sides, right where your ears are. So your ears have to direct connect to this brain, to this part of the brain. It actually, like I said, interacts with that frontal lobe. Excuse me. Now, that was just a picture to show exactly where it is, exactly what it's doing. It says the temporal lobes, todaki, it says the temporal lobes sit behind the ears and are the second largest lobe. They are most commonly associated with processing auditory information and with the encoding of memory. The temporal lobes are also believed to play an important role in processing affect and emotions, language, and certain aspects of visual perception. The dominant temporal lobe, which is the left side in most people, is involved in understanding language and learning and remembering verbal information. The non-dominant lobe, which is typically the right temporal lobe, is involved in learning and remembering non-verbal information, example, visual spatial material, and music. So, again, it just this is where I got that from. Now, it's just rehashing the things I said. I'm rehashing what it said, I should say. Now, this next one I'm sending out right now. This is from the University of Arizona, and it's under the heading, How Does Music Affect Your Brain? Now, just sent it out. Now, while y'all getting that, I'm going to read a scripture, two scriptures. Now, the first one comes from Genesis 4:16-21, and this connects with what our brother just put out, our brother Yariel, connecting to the lawlessness of people. Genesis 4:16-21. And this reads, And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded the city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Arad, and Arad begat Mehulah, and Mehulah begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. First person to have multiple wives. And Lamech, and this is in Cain's line, y'all. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. So again, famous verse, right? You got the first guy that took two wives in Cain's line. You got the first quote-unquote nomads, even though, you know, at the time when Adam and Eve got kicked out, you know, they was out there. They had lambs, you know. But the first person that is, because what's the name, offered up a lamb. Abel offered up a lamb. But the first person credited to have cattle and live in tents is here, Jabal, right? But verse 21, it says, And his brother's name was Jabal. He was the father of all as handled the harp and organ. So the people who really started dealing with music was in Cain's line. And think about how Satan is described. He's described as a musician. You know, it talks about his pipes being prepared and the tabrets being prepared. He knew how to make music, and he knew the influences of music. So what you have going on with Cain's line, you got the father of the people who started handling music being in Cain's line. Right? So let's go to this article. All right. It's in, again, University of Arizona. It says, how does music affect your brain? Right? It says, throw on some headphones, crank up the tunes, and what happens? Your toes and fingers start to snap. This music that's going on, and this happens with all of us, it is a natural effect. It's a natural way that when these things enter our ears, right? Especially with that rhythm. Something that is pleasing to us. It has an effect on us physically. Music. Because again, sound being one, an energy or a power. Two, a spirit, you know, has an effect on us physically. It says, your toes and fingers start to snap. Maybe your head and shoulders begin to bob. Pretty soon, you might be on your feet, busting a move, joyously. Now, it has an effect on us emotionally, y'all, also. See, the things we hear. Now, think about that, because, again, this is something that this part of the brain processes emotions also. So the type of music and the type of things that you hear has an effect on your emotions, right? It says, pretty soon you might be on your feet, busting the move, joyously belting out the lyrics. Music has taken over, and your body is now along for the ride. Listen to the wording, y'all. Listen to the wording. It says, so how important are your ears? It says this. While it may be obvious that music impacts you physically, understanding how music and the brain interact requires deep study and ability to probe the mysteries of the human mind. The result is a fascinating picture of the role music can play in brain development, learning, mood, and even your health. Dive into cognitive studies and read on to learn exactly how music affects your brain. Now, we're going on into the next section. Music, your brain, and well-being. One of the first things that happens when music enters our brains is the triggering of excuse me, y'all. Sorry about that. One of the first things that happens when music enters our brains is the triggering of pleasure centers. That's one of the first things that happens when music comes into us. It triggers our pleasure centers, right? That release a dopamine. Now, remember, we talked about dopamine. That is that gland or that chemical that is released in the gland that is within us that helps us. That's the happy drug that Abba put within us, you know, and it's also a painkiller. You know, so remember that, y'all. It's not a coincidence, and something else that we're going to look at. you know, as a reference, that music helps calm you. It helps ease some, you know, unless you're in a very intense pain, it can help ease pain within your body. Music can. Because of the release of this chemical that Abba put within you naturally, this painkiller that Abba put within you naturally, right? It says that release dopamine, a neurotransmitter that makes you feel happy. This response is so quick, the brain can even anticipate the most pleasurable peaks in familiar music and prime itself with an early dopamine rush. See, I hope y'all been listening. And again, that's why I referenced the YouTube, the resources earlier. This is exactly what Abba put, or Yaka else, is the first. He's saying the exact same thing when he talks about anticipation. That's another word for conditioning. Music helps condition you. Right? He says your body is now anticipating it and is releasing this dopamine in anticipation of being happy because the music is the stimuli. It's the stimulus to release that. Just like with Little Albert. Little Albert heard the noise. He didn't even have to see the mouse. At first he wasn't afraid. And then all of a sudden he hears the noise. Bing, 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 bing. Then they had to put a mouse on there. But he was anticipating that mouse through association, and it's through sound. Just like with that bell, the bell had ding, 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 and the dog get the salivating. He heard the sound, and it's working with this part of the brain. That's what scientists have figured out. But this is something that Hillel already knew. He was in the master. He's the master of music. You know, this is something that he already. I've been making this with you. You know, he's not saying nothing. You know, let all be truth established, let all truth be established by two or three witnesses. I'll just give you witness after witness after witness after witness. And when y'all going to listen to me? That's what he's always saying. Obey my voice. Hear me. Listen to me. I have a voice. I'm giving you witness after witness after witness after witness. Please listen. You know, but out here we deal in our carnality so much. So much that we miss it. We stay an enemy to Abba so much. And we don't want to be that anymore. We don't want to do that anymore. You know? But it says, this response is so quick, the brain can even anticipate the most pleasurable peaks in familiar music and prime itself with an early dopamine rush. Beyond simply making you feel good, however, there's evidence that music can even be good for your health. Research has shown that listening to music and associating with upticks in immunity boosting antibodies and cells that protect against bacteria and other invaders. And that's just regular. What about the music that gives praise to the Most High? What about that music that is that sweet savor to him, that sound, that beautiful sound within his ears? What about that music? Right? He says, music has also proven to be effective across a variety of treatment scenarios for conditions ranging from premature birth to depression to Parkinson's disease. Now think about that. See, because a lot of times, you know, when we, and I'm one of the people that suffer from depression, and a lot of times when I get down, see, you try to, and I play music, see, but a lot of times with the and depression being the spirit, it don't want to play that lively music that's going to lift your spirits. I don't want to hear that. You're going to play music that causes even more depression. Right? Something that we're going to talk about a little bit later, positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement, you know, because that is our ears is taking on this and it's having an effect on us physically. What we're listening to is affecting us physically, you know. What about our speech? What about our self-talk? What about all these other things that go out into the world and our ears is picking up on? Because, again, we can't cut it off. We can't cut it off. And all these things is having an emotional impact on us. The things we hear is having an emotional impact on us. It's playing on our emotions. Right? It says, ranging from premature birth to depression to Parkinson's disease. Even in terms of brain development, music can play a key role. Training to play an instrument, for instance, is believed to increase the gray matter volume in certain areas of the brain, not unlike how physical exercise can tone and enlarge muscles. As a result, musicians often experience improvements in brain function like auditory processing, learning, and memory. If you're ready to learn how, well, okay. All right. Now, we're going to skip that because, you know. Does genre matter? It says... And it does. See, because what's going on with that music, and, you know, the music itself plays a part on you emotionally. Now, and especially with us, the words with the music really pull on them emotions. You know? Really pulling them emotions. Because you put, you know, and that's why it's paired with it the way it is. It says, many of the beneficial effects of music on the brain are not limited to any single genre. Whether you're listening to smooth jazz, to the smooth jazz stylings, can't read today, a Billie Holiday on vinyl, the classic country sounds of Johnny Cash on YouTube, or the Beatles and their powerful British invasion. Forgive me if you hear my neighbor's music. But Satan do what he do too. He a hater. So the Beatles and their powerful British invasion rock music on Spotify. Different styles can produce the same results as long as they align with your musical preference. Cool. Don't I? Abba great. Abba is great. It says, as long as they align with your musical preferences, and it's so funny, because, see, sorry, y'all. See, but this is exactly Hasatan. Have you considered my servant day well? Yeah, I considered him. But you got this hedge up. Take it down. and I'll show you exactly who Deuel is. All right. But don't you touch him. Don't you take his life. You got full reign of everything around him. But don't you touch him, and don't you take his life. That quick, I've been offered up. And I know it. Because everything Abba just taught me this week, he's testing me on right now to see if I can stand on it right now, and I will. That's cool. Abba, one of my prayers was that I learn how to use his spirit and I learn how to discern things. And again, like I just said a couple minutes ago, some tests are specifically tailor-made for you. So he gives you this information. Now, guess what? While you're in the middle of dispensing this information, let's test them. Because we're going to be talking about what I'm saying, music being a distraction. That's another way that music is used, that Satan uses music. He uses it to distract you. How many times we was at the park and you had a party going on? How many times we was at the hotel, bracing, worshiping, praising, this, that, and another? It was a party going on down there, and you hear it. You got the Jesus lovers on the left-hand side of you. You got the other Jesus lovers and the fans hats on the right-hand side of you, and they in there praising Jesus, and it affects you because you hear it. Our brother Ariel had a couple of times, hey, man, the brother's tapping their toes to it. They say, hold up. It's the truth, though. It's the truth. But sometimes you just got to really, you got to stand when it's time to stand. All right? Pardon, I'm sorry, y'all. But when Abba put something on your heart, just like my brother said, man, look. Look, man. I love you, Shabba. Sure. But you got to stand when it's time to stand. And we're going to stand. And if I fall, pick me up, y'all. You know? And I'll do the same for you. All right? So it says, the Beatles in their powerful British invasion rock music on Spotify, different styles can produce the same results as long as they align with your musical preference. In the same way, it's the brain's relationship with familiar and favorite music that is key. In other cases, the style of music can play a role when it comes to the best music for learning. For example, experts recommend different genres for different purposes. Upbeat music, including songs with positive lyrics, can provide an energy boost and get your brain primed for learning. Once it's time... That was one of the things about hip-hop when it first started off. Upbeat, positive. But then it morphed into something. You must learn, you know. It came a little bit later, but still in the compared to now, what you get now, man. Once it's time to buckle down and concentrate, however, like when you need to read, write, or study your course materials, instrumental music and soothing genres can help you stay calm and focused. Ultimately, however, each person may develop an approach to studying music, to studying and music that's uniquely suited for them. For more on the topic, you can go down there. My brother says that's also why the Moray chose songs prior to teaching to uplift their spirits. So that's our brother Yakel sent that through. Let's go in the word for that. Psalms 81 verses 1 through 4. Right? So again, you know, talking about the effect that music has on you, has on your spirit, and it also transcends to your body. Now, Psalms 81, it says, to the chief musician upon Geteth, a song of Asaph, sing aloud unto Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the mighty one, to the Elohim of Jacob. So let these songs be joyful. Let your heart, and again, when we release them, that's the purpose of these songs, when we praise to the mighty one. Let our joy to be, you know, and he shall increase it. Right? It says, verse 2, take a psalm and bring hither a timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, and especially, and it's being the new moon, but especially on Shabbat. Let that music uplift you. Because why? It's, his presence is there, right? It says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed, our solemn feast day. Verse 4, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the mighty one. This is what Abba wants us to do, right? This is what he wants us to do. And let's just read verse 5, right? He says, this he ordained in Joseph. So before all this went down, he said, I ordained this in Joseph. And he's talking about the man when he says this. How do we know? For a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, he's not talking about the tribe that of Joseph. He says he ordained this in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, when Joseph, the Hebrew, was down in Egypt. When he heard the language, when he was sold into slavery, this is one of the things that he told Joseph to do down in Egypt. But it was for the sake of Jacob. Right? That's when all that started. This ain't some stuff that came about later on. This is some stuff that happened. Moses got the Torah. This is something that happened. Because Joseph preceded Moses. But again, make a joyful noise up into Yahweh. Give that joyous praise unto Yahweh. Again, music affects you emotionally. Now, I'm going to just reference this. Well, you know what? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 16, right? We're just going to read the whole chapter. It's only a couple of verses. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says, and Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Think about it. Yahweh said this to Samuel, and it had an effect on his emotions. How long are you going to mourn for Saul, Samuel, over this thing you heard? He says, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And Yahweh said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yahweh, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel said, and Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? Samuel came to spell, everybody got scared. Hey, look, you coming in peace? But think about it. That's Samuel. That's the type of renown he had. That's the type of weight that Yahweh put on his name. Well, as my man, he put some respect on his name. Right? He says, verse 5, he says, and he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Yahweh's anointed is before me. But Yahweh said unto Samuel, look not at his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yahweh seeth not a man, not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh at the heart. He's looking at what's going on in that brain. So if you're taking in filth constantly in that brain, guess what? He's looking at how filthy your brain is. But what if you're putting those joyful words? What if you're getting those pleasant words and those beautiful things coming into your brain? What if you're reinforcing the things that you know with this word? He says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Saul. And he said, me have Yahweh chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have Yahweh chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Yahweh hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. The youngest gets anointed. The youngest becomes Mashiach in front of all his brothers, in front of his 7 brothers. The 8th son becomes a Mashiach in front of all his brothers. He says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul. Hear that? Because we know what happened with Saul. Saul disobeyed. And what happened? The Spirit went away from him. the spirit of Yah, because he's got some bad news, just like with Cain. See, that's the case study. What happened with Cain and Abel is the case study. That's what all this is based upon. Cain got the bad news. He said, look, offer up this thing unto Yahweh. Okay. Cain took some fruit that he found on the ground. Abel took the fat and the first of his of his flock. Abel's was accepted. Cain's was not. Yahweh said to him, why have your countenance fallen? Why? Because he heard Yahweh said to him, I do not accept your offering. That had an effect on Cain, right? So what did Cain do? He reinforced it with more negative emotions. Abba tried to, look, why have your face fallen? In other words, that was, get your emotions under control. I know what I just said to you has affected you in some type of way, but keep your emotions under control. Why? Sin is crouching at the door. You have the power over sin. He says that. You have it already. You have the power to stop it. Every single human being has the power to stop it. But what are they going to reinforce? We're going to get to that in a second, y'all. Positive and negative reinforcement. Let me get finished reading, but that's the case study. When you hear something, can you keep these emotions under control? Because whatever you hear, the music, the words, is going to affect you emotionally. He says, spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. One spirit left, an evil one came in. Why? That spirit gone. The hedge is down. And Saul just allowed that spirit in. He didn't fight it off. He says, and Saul's servants, verse 15, and Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from Elohim troubles thee. Let our master now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. Do you understand? But that's the first thing. Let's get a musician in here to handle this spirit. Let's get a musician in here. He says, who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from Elohim is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and doubt shall be well. He's letting us, it's, science backs the Bible. It backs it. That's all when these scientists go out there, we saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in degrees just by reading this word. We are becoming scientists. It can't be stressed enough how he fully furnishes us for any type of argument, because the is foolishness for these scientists to say there is no mighty one when all of their science supports this. All of it supports it. Every time we go through this, we find science supporting this word. It's there. It says, where is it? And thou shalt be well. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war. And a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. and Yahweh is with him. You hear all these accolades that's going on with David? He says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with thy sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, came his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from Elohim was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, and again, the science backs the word. It's another incident where Saul was actually trying to kill him. He threw a spear at David and tried to pin him to the wall. But David got to that harp, and that spirit got off of him. See? Because Saul could not emotions in check. All right? Now I'm going to send out this next website. And forgive me, y'all, for that's not right. Right there. 1 second, y'all. All right, sending it out now. It's going out. It went out. Just went out. And this is talking about positive reinforcement. Now, I'm going to read some of it, but I'm going to break it down in the layman's terms because it's really, it uses a whole bunch of big words to say nothing, you know. But this is an actual case study. But what they did was they're actually looking at positive reinforcement and how it affects the brain. So they know that positive reinforcement is a good tool for adults. So what they did was they looked at it in the case of adolescents. Now, what they're doing is looking at it, and they're talking about the part of the case is emotional distractions. Now, what they come to find out is that when a person is more emotionally connected to a thing, that it causes a bigger distraction. So, and as far as learning goes. So, they had three type of stimuli. They had one that was what they call a todaraki. They had one that has a neutral distraction, one that somebody could not, they could go either way with it. Then they had a stimuli that somebody is really emotionally attached to. And then they have a stimuli, which is the positive stimuli, which they would reward, they would get the rewards. Like, no different than what Yaakov put on with the in his series, talking about how they would get rewarded. The dog would get the reward from hopping up when he hear the bell. They would feed him, and then he would start salivating in anticipation. He got conditioned to getting that good reward. Now, again, the same way that positive reinforcement works, negative reinforcement works, right? So, all right, it says, abstract. Now it says abstract. Frontal limbic systems play an important role in supporting resistance to emotional distractions to promote goal-directed behavior. Despite evidence that alterations in the function of these systems are implicated in developmental trajectories of psychopathology, most studies have been conducted in adults. This study examines the function of front limbic systems subversing emotional interference in adolescents and whether different, all right, that's just them setting it up, right? We're going to go down to where it says introduction. It says number one, introduction. That's just them telling what I just said. All this evidence that they have is based on adults. It's not based on children. Right? It says one, introduction. The ability to resist interference from distracting emotional information while sustaining attention on goal-directed behavior is critical for adaptive behavior. According to some theories, emotional information is prioritized and mobilizes cognitive resources as they contain signals closely linked to survival. In other words, the more emotionally attached you are to a thing, the stronger the emotional response. Like back in the day, if somebody said, your mama, that normally led into a fight, why you have that close emotional attachment to your mama, and your mama is who you love, and you're going to defend her honor. Whereas somebody was saying something about that brick over there, yeah, that brick, this, that, and another, you're not going to have that type of attachment to that brick like you do your mama. So they can talk trash about that brick all they want. It's not going to distract you. It's not going to change your thinking. But if you have something on your mind, somebody says, your mama, all of a sudden that emotion hijacks, and they're going to use that word in here, hijacks the thoughts that were there, and now that's all you can see is this dude talking about your mama. Now, it says, such preferential access of emotional information to our cognitive system has been interpreted as a mechanism critical for the quick and effective processing of biological relevant information, rendering us better able to respond in an adaptive manner. Everything that I just told you. While emotional information may bolster cognitive processing and improve performance if it's goal-related, the same information could be distracting and have detrimental effects on cognitive functions. Again, the reverse is true too. Someone says something good about your mother or something that you have this emotional attachment to. You know, your mother's a good, I really like when your mother makes chicken. That she can really cook and this, that, and another. It can have that positive reinforcement, that positive thinking, or it can have that negative there, right? And that goal, and again, you'll talk about how good your mother's chicken is, right, or how good she makes chicken, but that's like, you know what, that's right. That's normally a short conversation, and then you're right back to whatever it is you were thinking about before. Whereas that negative hijacks that thought, and that's all you can think about. Man, it's all just my mother did this, and he said this about my mother. You didn't forget everything that you was doing before. You understand what I'm saying? I hope y'all get it. But that's what this study is about. How emotions and how, and again, this is how it's processing. This is how it processes in your brain, right? It says, while emotional information, I just read that, could be distracting. All right. It says, next verse, it says, some have proposed that emotional information is integrated within cognitive control processes, creating a complication for information processing resources, and that such integration is supported by complex interactions between prefrontal and subcortical regions. Using cognitive tasks modified to include emotional distractors, numerous studies have provided evidence that emotional stimuli can influence many different aspects of cognition and behavior, as they tend to hijack, and again, attention more easily than non-emotional stimuli, everything that I just told you. The more emotionally attached you are to whatever the stimulus is, that influences, and the negative emotion can totally hijack, where the positive emotion can reinforce it, and it reinforces that thought. It says, tend to hijack attention more easily than non-emotional stimuli, thereby resulting in disrupting cognitive goals and less optimal task performances. For example, slow reaction times or reduced accuracy. See, because in other words, when you're angry, you can't think straight. That's all they say. You know, when that negative emotion is dominates, you can't think straight. Because all you're doing is focusing and reinforcing that negative thought over and over and over again. Right? So he just asked Samuel, how long are you going to mourn Saul? I left him, bro. Ain't nothing you can do about that. You know, it's gone. I rejected him. So stop mourning him, man. One test that has been used to examine the function of frontal limbic systems underlying attentional control in the context of emotional distraction is the emotional delayed working memory. The EDW, wait a minute. Yeah, we're going to skip that part. This is just talking about we're going to go down to the next part, because everything that section is everything I just explained to you. All right, it says, in light of, we're down to the next subsection. It says, in light of the role of emotional interference in affective disorders, an equally important yet unexplored area of research concerns identifying variables of procedures that can be used to prevent interference and associated declines in goal-directed behavior. So again, they're looking for ways to help people they're looking for ways to help adolescents, and they're looking for evidence to help adolescents control their emotions, right? Since some evidence suggests emotional distraction can be mitigated by top-down interventions from attentional control regions engaged to regulate emotional responses and cope with emotional distraction. Given evidence that attentional biases to emotional stimuli are important clinical characteristics of affective disorders, and that such biases have been interpreted in terms of deficits in attentional control, there is thus a need to find ways to promote attentional control of emotion. We're trying to help when that your mama comes out. We're trying to find a way to lessen the impact or show them how to control that your mama. Right? How to keep that emotion in check. Now, when that comes into your ear, the process of it, you have to learn a way to process it differently, right? So they came up with the way a while ago, Roadhouse. It was a movie called Roadhouse. And one of the things, it was, had Patrick Swayze in it. And one of the things Patrick Swayze was doing with the bouncers, because he was a bouncer, and he was teaching the bouncers to control their emotions. He said, you don't fight until I tell you to fight. He says, well, what if somebody does this? You just smile and be nice, be polite. He said, well, what if somebody does this? You just smile and be polite. And so a guy asked him, he said, well, what if somebody calls my mother a harlot? You know the word that you use with harlot. Patrick Swayze said, his response to that was, is she? Meaning, if she's not a harlot, don't allow that to take your emotions to a spot where you're going to get into a fight. It's going to be a bar brawl. It's going to be this, that, and another. Right? So that was one of the ways to mitigate, or another way to process that information, because that's what needs to change in order to get these emotions under control. The processing needs to change, right? So that's true too. Our brother Yario says, because of lack of parental guidance or home training, we have this lawlessness in children and adolescents. That's true too, Aki. We know the problem, right? But what's the solution? See, because the negative reinforcements is all out in the world. They all out in the world. And they have the world's ear. Matter of fact, let's go to this. I didn't know why Abba sent me here, but now I know. In the book of Job, Job chapter 21. I'm going to read, start at verse 1. And this is one of Job's answers to one of the people that came to him. He says, but Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. Because remember, his people came there, the people came there was the quote-unquote, unlift them, but Job knows what's going on. They're mocking him. Nah. No self-control. True. My brother said no self-control is being taught. Again, but thinking about the conditioning of man. What if you don't know it? How are you going to teach it? But if you don't know it, how are you going to teach it? Because Hasatan has a lot, he's been pushing man's buttons a lot longer than we know how to control them. So it takes that teaching or that renewing of the mind for us to get to that. Again, I went to anger management 4 times. It wasn't the fourth time. That the woman told me, and she gave me, she might not have known it, but she literally gave me the scenario in the garden to help me solve my anger. When you get angry, ask yourself, why are you angry? That's all Yahweh did. He said, if you do that, you can subdue your anger. You can subdue it. That's the answer. But people don't want to take that as answer. But this, that, and another. Because, again, you're surrounded. And this is what Job is talking about. Let me get finished reading on. He said, hear diligently my speech, and then let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore, or why do the wicked live, become old, yea, and are mighty in power? That's who's running the world. You know, that's who's running the world. The wicked is running the world. You understand what I'm saying? And their hand is on everything. They're the ones who switch hip-hop, turn hip-hop into the harlot, what that Carmen was talking about. It was that good girl, and then it switched to hip-hop. So many artists are coming out now talking about Jimmy Iovine and the what's his name, the other guy from, I cannot think of his name, how they only want to promote music that is destructive to black people. They don't want to put out anything positive. We want gangster rap. This is what's pushed to the forefront, to the point now it has become synonymous with our culture. It's glorified in the streets. You got these kids running by. Why? Oh, that's what they're processing on a constant basis. They're being bombarded and overflowed with it. There is no more R&B. Nobody's talking about love. Nobody's talking about staying together now. Nobody's talking about finding a good woman and being with a good one good woman, and I want a husband, and this, that. None of the values that Yahweh said are great are being pushed. It says, Brother Chevelle, most children's parents don't even know how to control their emotions because it's usually passed on through your generation, and that's true too. Part of the curses was talking about how a woman will become so harsh, where at one point she was so delicate, she's going to eat up her children. Think about how these sisters talk to their kids now. They cuss them out like they niggas on the street. They smack them and they treat, and this is the fruit from their womb. You got a little child. And again, it happens from a little child. You know, and I'm not going to go back to the positive reinforcement thing. It's a conclusion all the way at the bottom. And it talks about how, yes, if you positively reinforce a thing, it helps stop with these distractions. When you get that reward, right? But this is how, you know, we have to go back and process this information in the way that Yahweh wants us to process, because it's coming again. We can't stop hearing. We cannot stop hearing. It's going to come. So because we can't stop hearing, and because the things that we hear have an effect on us emotionally, we have to learn how to process these things the way that Yahweh wants us to process it. Now, getting back to Job, and my apologies, y'all. I wanted to go through the thing, but I hope y'all get the gist of it. Abba, give everybody exactly what they need, when they need it, for your divine purpose. Right? No, don't matter what I wanted to do. Just like what my brother Shabbat said last night, he might have thought he had an incomplete lesson. I can sound it very complete to me. I'm constantly learning from all my brothers, right? It says, hallelujah. It says, it says, verse 4, it says, as for me, is my complaint, no, I've read that already. Okay, verse 7, sorry. It says, Wherefore, because this is the gist of it. This is the point that I would put on. He took me, I didn't know why. He says, verse 7, he says, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, and are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. So they got generation of wickedness coming up. He says, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the wrath of Elohim upon them. Their bull, genderous, and faileth not. Their cow, cattle, and cast not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto Elohim, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of that way. We don't care what you think, mighty one. We over here dancing, listening to our music, and again, they associate music with evil people again. They taking their timbrel, they taking their harp, they dancing. Who got the world dancing? The evil one got the world dancing. Ain't nobody dancing to Yahweh. Don't nobody want to hear Yahweh songs? Don't nobody want to make him happy or bring that joyful noise, as in Psalms 81, bring that joyful noise to his ears? Uh-uh. Murder, murder, kill, 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 nigga, this nigga, that, bad B. That's all you hear. It has even invaded the quote-unquote church's holiness dance. And they're twerking. I saw one video where they showed the woman in church twerking. And like my brother said, lawlessness. Our brother Yariel, goodness is not profitable. That fruit of the womb has a value, but the value of a family is worthless. Abba wants his family to come back together. That's right. That's what they want. But again, how are you going to get that when everybody's a bad bee? When I don't need a man. Then on the opposite end, you got these men out here. Men don't want to, they promote. They promoting, yeah, be this man and stand for something. But then at the same time, they promoting all this fornication. That woman for the streets. She's just for the streets. Ain't nobody trying to get married, and they tell people out there, if it's a woman out there and she got a child, and you don't marry him. Cool, if you a dude and you ain't got no, that's fine. That's fine. If you don't want to marry a woman with children, that's fine. But don't disqualify a woman that you love just because she has a child. You might miss a good thing. What Yahweh brings together, let no man tear asunder. And again, we have to learn to process this information because there is so much evil going out there. And it is affecting us in such different ways, in so many different ways. So many different ways, y'all. Subtly. Subtly. Again, the word talks about how people came into the church craftily, cunningly, secretly. They didn't come in with all that pomp and circumstance. Yes, but they came in. And now everybody's coming out. They're showing their hands. Israel, the biggest homosexual tourist attraction place on earth, in the quote-unquote Holy Land, the land that was supposed to be sanctified, the land where Abba said, I'm going to stick my name at. But again, the wicked is prospering in this earth. You know? But we got 10 more minutes. Again, pay attention with, you know, what you're hearing. And again, use those resources, y'all. Abba ain't talking to us for nothing. Listen to him. Hear his voice. You know, hear his voice. Listen to what our Heavenly Father is saying to us on a daily basis. Obey his voice. Lift him up. You know, keep each other in prayer. Talk to each other. You know, possibly... positively reinforce one another, you know. We have to feed each other because the world ain't got nothing for us, man. That's all they got is swine. That's it. All they got for us is the unclean. And we can't eat at that table. We eating at Yah's table, right? So we're going to stop it right here. We're going to stop it right here. Like I said, just let Abba grow you, all right? Blessed are you. Excuse me. Ephesians, our brother Shabel, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. You fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them in the discipline and instruction of Yah. Say no more, Aki. That's his word. What can we do? Don't provoke them to wrath. You know, and again, you know, Abba has a thing with, he says certain things over and over again that we ought to hear. Gird up your loins like a man. He says constantly within his word, be ye not afraid, for I am with you. These things, the positive reinforcement, and that is in itself the reward. Understand what he's doing with us. That experiment came. Do right, and it will be accepted. He was trying to positively reinforce Cain, and so Cain would not become one with the evil one. So he wouldn't serve the evil one, like the word says. He won't serve the opponent. Because up to that point, up until the point where he heard that his offering was not acceptable to Yahweh, there's no indication that he hated his brother. There's no indication he had any issues with Abel. None. None that we read about anything. And, you know, he just said, look, your offering is unacceptable. And think about it, y'all. What normally happens, because it literally says he found some fruit on the ground. And think about what normally happens with fruit that fall from a tree. It get bruised. And we learn a little bit later, you can't offer up bruised stuff to the Most High. You can't offer up the lame to the Most High. See, so when Abel offered up that first, the fatling and the first, we know it was, that's why it was acceptable. You brought Abba some bruised stuff, some stuff that's already handled and blemished. And that's why it wasn't accepted. You know, just looking at the narrative. And again, y'all, as my phone clicks off again. Said, we have accepted imposter in Israel. Genesis 9:27. It says, Elohim shall enlarge Jacob, and he shall dwell in the tents of, that's true too. That is true. And he shall dwell in the tents of, in the tents of Seth, and Canaan shall be his servant. That's true too. You know, the imposter is definitely at work, and he working with the evil one. You know, but, all right, got 5 minutes. Sorry, y'all. You know, I'ma do what he do, y'all. Look, you got a problem, take it up with him. That's right, you got an issue with it, take it up with Abba. Talk to him about it. Say, Brother Dale Well talk too much. Take it up with him. All right, blessed be you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, and all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one. Trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, once again, I ask that you forgive me for all my sins and forgive Israel for all their sins that we commit against you knowingly and unknowingly, and that you hear our prayer, Abba. Abba, Todah, once again, for the gift of life. Todah, once again, for the Shabbat, Abba, that you given to us, that we bask in your glory. Now the sun is out. Todah, Abba, for that, Abba. I ask, Abba, that you continue to heal us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Abba, that you continue to give to us your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, that you open up your word to us, Abba. I ask, Abba, that you open up your word to our brother, Ahab El, as he brings forth your word, Father, that you put it within his mouth and that you edify us through him, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to heal us, Father. Heal our Ema Deborah. Heal our Ema Cheryl. Heal our brother Yaka'el. Heal our brother Shafut El. Heal myself. Heal our sister Chomi, our sister Danielle, and anyone else, our brother Sheba El, anybody else who is our brother Marv El, you know, anybody else who is hurting physically, spiritually, mentally, Father, heal us and comfort us, Father. Make us whole. Bring us to you, Father, step by step, little by little. Let us continue to grow in your power. Continue to grow in your word. Continue to grow with each other, Father. Unify us through your spirit. Unify us through that commonality, Father. And continue to just reveal to us. Father, we thank thee from the bottom of our hearts, all our souls and beings, Father, for all the blessings and the strength that you have provided for us throughout the week and throughout our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael.
I gotta stay on my 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Everybody says they can't wait. Would you be ready if he came back today? You better take advantage of this baby. And check your spirit.
And the laws of discipline from the scriptures, and check your spirit, be diligent, never fear it. The fire will make you purer. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Living in a critical era, straight from the laws, and that's a suicidal error. Get your mind right before the hour of terror. Procrastinate and be destroyed in your security. To save your life, you need to eat eggs and my eggs.
Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I examine myself every day.
Issue.